If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, I really wanted to break down and better understand this interesting moment that we're in with Real Housewives as an overall franchise right now, because I feel like we all looked up one day recently and realized that a big change had happened. We went from having four franchises and a girls' trip on at the same time, a run that included a zeitgeist breakthrough moment for Salt Lake City in Reality Von Teese and Monica Garcia, to a point now, just a couple months later, where there's just one Real Housewives franchise on, Potomac, which is winding down a season that's gotten a lot of criticism and has failed to deliver in the same way that previous seasons of the show have. We have Girls Trip sort of in disarray. The future of that experiment is kind of up in the air. Nobody really knows how they're going to proceed. We have Jersey in about a month, followed by Dubai about a month later, both of which I'm excited for, but neither of which feel like they will dominate our psyches or create the same level of fervor that we felt a few months ago. So to help understand this moment, what it means, why we shouldn't all freak out about it, and what the network and production can do to right the ship, I brought on Bryce Sander, who heads up all Real Housewives coverage for Entertainment Tonight and has for years. He's seen inside the belly of the beast, conducts a bunch of major interviews with the top talent at the network every season of every show, and delivers big scoops from around the Bravoverse all the time. We had a fantastic conversation that covered what I'm deeming the era of the Real Housewives casting reshuffle, everything from the full Roni overhaul to big cast reshuffles in Atlanta and perhaps Potomac, to rumors about Miami and fans wanting change on Jersey. We looked at past examples of Housewives franchises injecting new blood into their cast to shake things up, moments where that worked and didn't work, and how they can learn from those past examples to inform the futures of our favorite shows. We landed in a hopeful place that recognized that this isn't a dire moment, but rather a learning moment for all involved that teaches us a lot about why things are the way they are right now, and perhaps what the biggest challenges and hurdles that face the network and Real Housewives are. So keep listening for my chat with Bryce Sander of Entertainment Tonight, and please, please, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this show right now. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Bryce Sander, the chief Real Housewives correspondent at Entertainment Tonight. If you follow any Bravo adjacent social media accounts, you have seen at least one, if not many, of Bryce's many interviews, been exposed to any of his news that he's broken, any scoops that he's gotten. He's truly one of the best in the biz. Bryce and I go way back, and I'm so excited to have him on the show today. Bryce, thanks for being here. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I know our paths have crossed for like a decade now.
It's really crazy. and honestly, and in some of the, in those earlier ways, they weren't even attached to Bravo. It was just
not at all
related. Yeah.
Not at all.
It's really funny. Okay. So as one of the sort of preeminent Housewives guys out there. I wanted to have you on today because I feel like we're in this interesting moment in Housewives where I don't really remember sort of a full moment like this for a while, where it sort of seems like, you know, we had moments obviously where certain franchises or a couple of the franchises aren't in great shape, but it, you know, we're in a moment of flux a little bit, I would say, in Housewives. We've gone from having four on at the same time where it was like, how do we keep up with all of this? And some of them were amazing seasons. And now we have one that's finishing up a fairly lackluster season. We're going to have a couple weeks where no Housewives are on. Temperature check. How are you feeling overall about this moment in Housewives?
Yeah, we're like at a pivot point, a growing pain moment. I think the network wanted to eventize so many premieres around BravoCon without thinking about, this will mean we don't have content for X, Y, and Z time. So I do think this was like a strategy learning lesson, maybe an intentional one, because I also know, as much as we love Housewives and as much as Housewives like is Bravo, I think the network strives to be more than Housewives. So maybe it's also an attempt to shine light on shows that don't get as much love and attention and fandom. Right. It'll be interesting to kind of watch April into May before New Jersey comes on of like, what are the ratings for these other shows that aren't in the Housewives universe? And yeah, it's like the things that are kind of leaking out, it's like, like the whole Miami might get a cast shakeup is a question mark to me. And is Robin leaving Potomac or not? Is it still a question mark? And so I'll be interested to see where everything falls. And also if this means we're going to get like a faster turnaround time between when something is shot and when it airs. Because I wonder if, you know, Orange County is in production right now, but should wrap up probably in the next month or two. And if we'll see that this summer, like if it'll be that quick of a turnaround.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to envision like a time when it's like, you know, Jersey's wrapping up and then it's just Dubai on. Like that is a weirder moment than right now, almost, if that was to happen.
Yeah. So yeah, I do think they will try to figure out a way to get Orange County on the air before
I agree
Dubai wraps up, but we're in an interesting moment.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said, like you said, sort of about embracing this moment where it's like about the Vanderpump Rules and the Summer House and the Martha's Vineyard of it all and the Valley. But, you know, when it comes to Housewives, which is really the flagship of the network, we're in this era again where several franchises have either already been rebooted completely. There's a couple franchises that seem to be getting at least like significant cast shakeups. And then there's again, like rumors about it, Miami that you just mentioned. There's people on social media who will get to them in a little bit who want it to happen in Potomac and Jersey, even though we haven't even seen this season of Jersey yet. What do you make of, like, I'm calling it the sort of era of the cast reshuffle or the reboot? Like, does it make you hopeful? Does it make you feel like, again, like it's not the greatest moment for being a Housewives fan? What do you think about that?
I'm always hopeful.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the flip side of the network doesn't want to just be Housewives. So much of what the network is Housewives. So I think they are committed to keeping these shows on the air and viable for as long as possible. Yeah. I think we're just kind of like at this saturation point where people are on these shows for so long that you have to shake it up in order to generate new story. I think the worst thing that can happen for a show in this genre is when the show becomes these people's whole lives, because if all you have to show on the show is the show, then you have no show. And I think that's why New York got the reboot. Those women, their lives became about the show. And so all we were watching was them making a show instead of the side quest, the family scenes, the personal scenes, and chasing personal story, which is what you need to keep these shows on the air. You can do the whole, this is a show about making the show thing for a couple seasons, but it cannot be, there's no longevity there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that this last girls trip was an example of what you just said, which is like, it didn't even sustain everybody's interest for six episodes. You know what I mean? Like, so if people wanted to see them, and I love those women to death, but if they wanted to see them for 16 episodes, what does that even look like at this point?
Right. And would it feel too contrived? And then would the audience reaction be like, well, why are they faking this and setting this up? Because it's like, as fun as Crappy Lake was, everything you were watching on that show was a setup moment. It was like, right, we're inventing things for Sonia and Luann to do in order to have a comedic moment and have a scene to watch versus here's what's organically happening. And I think that is also, I think this is the biggest issue facing Bravo right now, is it's very hard to find anyone who organically fits into any of these casts with how long all these people have been
right.
on. Because the way it works is every season, these women open their Rolodexes and say, here's my like 5 to 12 friends who might be interested or I think could be good for the show. Hand it off to casting, hand it off to production. Dozens of those people get interviewed. And then they get burnt out of like, you've gone through this cycle multiple times. It hasn't hit. Like Angie K is an example of someone who auditioned for that show multiple times before she actually landed on it. But it's, if you go to somebody a fifth time, you know, there's only so many people in people's social circles. So I think that's the biggest issue facing it, is how do we organically fit people in so that we don't run into a NECA situation where you have this person who obviously casting really liked, production really liked, did something in her casting that spoke to somebody and said she's going to be a great big star, and then kind of like dead upon arrival.
Right. Totally. But then you, on the flip side, it's like you have moments where that really works, where it's like, you know, I would argue the last couple additions on Jersey, even though that cast generally has remained at the core, it's similar, but it's like, then you find a Rachel Fuda and Danielle Cabral duo, and it's like, they can breathe so much life into a show and it doesn't need to be completely rebooted. It's just, I think two people sometimes it just is the answer, right?
I think that is the biggest, or like a big thing, is bringing in just one person sets them up to fail.
I agree.
You have Gina and Emily. I know people always knock them. They are good housewives.
I agree.
They are good housewives. I don't care what you people have to say. And they came in together. So they had this immediate, okay, this is a person I can trust. And Danielle and Rachel had that too. But then they had their growing pains of they're being pulled by the two factions. And one went this way, one went that way. But I think this season we're about to get, we're going to see them kind of bridging the gap between these two. Of like, oh, why? Like, we didn't need to be at odds.
Yeah, completely. So in your mind, Bryce, like we talked about the Roni thing, how like those women's lives became the show and the show became their lives and there was nothing else really to show. What other franchise right now is closest to that situation for you, where it's getting sort of towing the line of, okay, there's not much else to explore here?
I think Potomac is entering that territory, and Jersey possibly, but Potomac, just because it's on right now and it's like, this has been such a crown jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season, it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Why are we here? Why are we watching this?
Why?
That I'm fearful for it, because it is, they have all made their whole lives so much about this show. Like, they do podcasts that largely talk about what's happening on the show or things they don't want to share on the show. Or they're launching initiatives that just don't feel like things they would be doing if it weren't for being on the show. Like, Giselle and Ashley, would we launch a fashion line if we were on this show? Probably not.
Right.
Would we launch a talk show, YouTube show, if we weren't on this show? Probably not. So I think that's where it's like, okay, I'm interested in kind of what NECA is able to share after the season wraps, because it seems like she filmed a lot, kind of like the Anna Marie and Beverly Hills problem, where it's like, she went in, had a great experience filming the show, thought she shared so much, thought her like journey was documented in the way that she wanted it to be. And then you see it edited into the episode and it's like, oh, we're missing so much of the color behind your character.
Yeah. And both of them sort of, it's a good through line, because both of them came in and right off the bat, it was just about these like issues that nobody either understood or cared about, or sort of combo of both. It was like NECA, Wendy, mom, family, like, you know, Nigerian label that they put on to one another. And like with Amory, it was obviously the esophagus thing. And like, it hurts the intro of these people. It makes it feel, I don't know, like just too weighty.
Right. I talked to Candace in December about kind of NECA's entry. And she goes, the worst thing that can happen to somebody is to make your first season, which should be only about you, about someone else, which is what Anna Marie and NECA both did. And it's like, those are always the things that it's like, we'll never know the full truth behind how we got there. Like, were you encouraged in some way? Did you take bad advice from somewhere to pull on this string and never let it go? I will say NECA finally let it go, but Wendy was never willing to let it go.
Yeah, totally.
Who are willing to give and take? It cannot be my way or the highway on these shows because the show is bigger than any individual.
100%. I will say with NECA, I ended the season feeling much more positively about her than I did the first half of it. But it, sometimes in a moment like that, it just feels like it's too little too late, or like they were, the hill is too steep for them to climb from the hole they've dug themselves into.
Yeah. And yeah. If Wendy had given her, when they had that like coffee shop date,
yeah,
she had just given her like a let's clean the slate and move on and never talk about this again, I think she would have been
saved her
better place. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging on that cliff the whole season.
Right, right. So to backtrack a little bit, obviously there have been moments in the past where there have been sort of like slight, not full reboots, but slight cast reboots where they'll bring in like 3 to 4 new people, or even there's a lot of examples of 2, but there's like a couple examples of like 3 to 4. There was the Roni one back in the day. There was an Atlanta moment sort of like that. What to you is sort of like the best example of like, the show wasn't working, the network and production did a lot of reshuffling, and it came back set up for success?
I think it is that Roni shift in season 5 when we got Hala and Carol, yeah, and Aviva, where it was like, okay, we've got some fresh energy. They all feel like they work together. They can integrate with this group of women. They're not from some other worlds, the way some other people who have been infused into cast, where it's like, you would never be in the social circles of these people. And that really, I think, redefined the vibe of Roni, because the early seasons were so much about focus, so much focus on like social climbing and events and that world, like almost not the charity world, the way Dallas was set up, but kind of
charity like, adjacent. Yeah.
Charity adjacent, like CNBC and be in the papers, be in Page Six before it was like the Page Six we're all looking at.
Right.
When it literally was Page Six of the New York Post newspaper. When those women came in, it was like, oh, they literally were like, we're going downtown for the first time. We're in like more of a party scene. And it felt more like, oh, we have a cohesive group and I'm not watching these individual kind of pockets of people.
Yeah, totally. I mean, now that we're so deep into the run of these shows, it's like the biggest balance I feel like is like bringing in new people to truly inject new energy, new blood into a cast, bringing women back, which is a whole other beast, I think. And
yes,
now we have girls trip that like people can be brought back like sort of in a half committal way almost. Right. But like, what's your mindset in terms of bringing new people in versus bringing other women back to the show too? Because it is sort of this thing of like fan service, because people want to see these former faces back, but that's not always the answer.
Yeah, I don't think it's always the answer. It's like we watched Taylor Armstrong come on Orange County, and it just like, it didn't work in the way I think they thought it was going to work. Like Taylor was, her kind of success on Beverly Hills was so grounded in the worst time in her life and this like tragedy. And so it's like, it was nice to check in on her and kind of see her in a different place of life, but it was, she just didn't seem to fully fit in, even though I know she does live there and hangs out with these women off camera. But it's like Tamara was needed back in Orange County. Heather Dubrow was needed back on Orange County. So there are instances where it works and there are instances where it doesn't.
Yeah.
I do think like the NBCU world is interested in like maintaining their talent, keeping their talent, whether they're on the show they started on or not. So I think having Traitors, having Girls Trip, having House of Villains, having these shows that can be populated with
people
and we can kind of check in on them, but maybe they don't have enough to share for like, you know, hold an apple, hold an orange sort of thing is great. But I do think there's a danger in taking somebody off the show and then constantly using, like going back and bringing them back to solve the problem. Because I think we saw when Tamara came back last year, she came back so hard.
So strong. Yep.
So strong. And she regrets some things she did and like took notes on things she did. But I think it can make them approach the shows in a gamified way instead of just an organic, I'm here to share my life and whatever happens, happens way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's like, you know, the announcement of Portia coming back to Atlanta is sort of the sort of juice that I think that show needs. It needed an excitement. It needed sort of like a, oh my God, like Portia's back, you know. It's like, and it hasn't been that long, but it's sort of, there is that excitement factor there. And then you think of sort of like a Phaedra, who like they've been sort of testing in the waters with her on various shows. But then she comes back in a full capacity on Married to Medicine. And like, I would argue that we didn't really see the true full Phaedra. Like, she wasn't opening her life up in a big way, I would say. And
it was also like, sure, she probably knows these women, but does she know them largely because they both exist in the Bravo universe?
Yeah.
And so does she really fit in with this group? Because she is not Married to Medicine in any
no.
way or form. And so, but I also think Married to Medicine in Atlanta, Housewives of Atlanta, is such an interesting like ecosystem, because honestly, a lot of the women they probably would want to cast on Housewives are over on Married to Medicine.
Yeah.
Andy has said over the years, Atlanta's a really hard city to cast these shows in, because you either have people who want nothing to do with the reality world, or you have people who are so desperate to be in the reality world that they're not going to be good at the show.
Mm. Whereas like on Married to Medicine, they somehow got these women 10 years ago who wouldn't have wanted to do reality TV right. now to commit to it. And it's been a good experience for them. But like, I feel like if, you know, you asked Dr. Jackie or Dr. Simone in 2024 to join a reality show, they would be like, fuck no.
Right. I mean, right. even if you asked them like 5 years before they did Married to Medicine, they probably would have been like, what are you talking
yeah.
about? But yeah.
The timing worked out.
It's so much of these shows is just like the magic of circumstance. They find the right people at the right time and it just works. And so I think the audience needs to give a lot of these shows a little grace, because not every season is going to be this runaway train going somewhere. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just slice of life. I'm watching you have fun. I'm watching you have petty arguments. And that's okay. That's what the show was. Before we had like Teresa went to prison, Tom Girardi got in.
Jen Shah
went to prison. Like this expectation that there's going to be some huge life altering, life ruining thing to follow every year is just unsustainable. And also, I think cuts off the casting pool, because people, if that is what this entire universe becomes, who the hell is going to want to open their life up to that? Only the people who are so desperate to be famous. Right. And do you want to watch those people? Absolutely not.
Very well said. And I think that, you know, you bringing up sort of the fans' expectations, the fan reactions, that's a whole other beast in terms of probably the conversations that the network has in terms of, again, how do you, quote unquote, fix some of these franchises? Because you have people on social media who are so fickle and so like stubborn and so loud about what they think should happen. And you obviously don't want to do full fan service, but you also do want to give the fans what they want. But also, do the people online really reflect the majority of the viewership that Bravo is playing to? It's this juggling act that's probably impossible to really fully do well.
Yeah. Well, and I also think the internet is the loudest place with the smallest audience.
Right.
Like that is just a slice of who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who are watching these shows are not then getting online and talking about it everywhere and posting about it. The network does a lot of testing. They do Q score testing to see like what's the likability of all these people. They do focus groups. They do a lot of internal research to figure out how middle America feels about the people they're populating their television shows with. And I do think they listen to fan commentary. I think Teddy Mellencamp, I can't remember if she was on the Bravo's Hot Mic podcast or if Alex Baskin went on one of her many Two Teas in a Pod universe podcasts. But he said to her, because she was like, why was I fired? And he said to her, I mean, listen to the audience feedback. And I do think if Teddy were to be found today and cast now with like the lived experience she has, she would operate very differently on the show and probably be received differently. But yeah, I think
you
need to give them grace of they know what they're doing. I think there was a lot of question and concern of what would Salt Lake City be without Jen Shah? And
they're their best season ever.
Best season ever. And as explosive as that ending was, how low stakes was that? Like it was so minimal. It was not like running a fan page or an anti-fan page, I don't even know what to call it, that I think had maybe 10,000 followers before it like exploded. But after the finale, it was so insular to like their little world, but it made for compelling television.
Exactly. And that's, I think, like you said, part of the initial appeal of Housewives was taking fairly low stakes conflict or arguments and making it feel like such a big deal and making it feel like it can divide a friend group and making it feel like...
Everyone should go back and watch season 3 of Orange County, because that is when the blueprint for how to do a housewife season began. You can thank Tamra Judge. She does not get her due. She gets so much criticism for being a shit stirrer, for stirring the pot, but she wrote the handbook of this is what these shows are. Her going, did you go to Bass Lake? That was...
Yep.
That's the setup for a housewife's argument.
Yes. No, I think that's the best pro tip that you can give out. Okay, so Bryce, so the first we've ever seen this happen, the full reboot, was Roni. We've seen one season of that. Bravo just announced that the full cast is going to come back. I was surprised Jenna was coming back, but I'm glad we're seeing them all sort of get another go round with this, because I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of, like, again, this is the first time we've seen a completely new cast on a show that existed, but it feels like kind of a different show. It feels like a new show.
Yeah.
What do you think they need to do to sort of solidify themselves as housewives, as part of this fabric, and sort of, I guess, establish what the DNA of their show is that's different from the OG Roni?
Yeah. Well, I think they had pressure on them that no one would want to have to live up to this huge idea of what the show is. I think everyone deserves at least two seasons, because you truly don't get to see, like, you need one season for them to learn the game, and you need a second season to watch them play it.
Right.
And then at the end of 2 years, you can go, okay, this person doesn't work here, or this person would maybe work better in this role. I'm interested to see if Jenna is an apple holder, a friend of, in this new iteration, given the New York Times interview she gave after the announcement.
I agree. Not talking about her relationship on the show, basically.
And basically, like, nothing in my personal life will be on the show. But I think she's like a fun Greek chorus on that show. I think all they need to do is take whatever lessons they learned from the first go around. Like, Sai and Aaron got a lot of audience criticism. And I think pandering to the audience is the worst thing you could do. Like, stay true to yourself. But I do think they might have some insight into how people will react to stuff, so they may be able to temper how they handle something, or maybe amp up in a different way.
Yeah. It's sort of like, who's willing to maybe lean into the quote unquote villainy role, or the right person who can be the devil's advocate. I loved that the show was low stakes conflict again. Like, I loved the catch bleeping out and that whole conflict.
That's
totally
home base.
Totally. But I think that, like, there can be some adjustments made on that cast in terms of how long we draw something out, or how quickly we forgive each other, or things like that. And sort of also not ganging up on people. So there was other factors there, obviously, that contributed to this.
Learning each other as much as Bravo tapped it as, like, we found this organic group of friends.
That's not true. Yeah.
They all basically met each other filming the show. And so they were learning each other's personality types and their quirks. And it's like, okay, now we know what Uba's buttons are. We know what makes Jessel, you know, Jessel.
Yeah, exactly.
All will know better how to put each other. And I'm excited to watch them. I assume they're filming spring, summer instead of fall, winter. So they can go out to the Hamptons, and it's actually the Hamptons, and not we're locked in Aaron's house for 3 days with nothing to do.
With no heat. Exactly. No, that's a really good point. The other one that I think is sort of really in the midst of a reshuffle is Atlanta. You know, I think Candy sort of surprised everybody by announcing her departure on that red carpet.
Yeah.
And then shortly after, we got the Portia announcement that she's coming back. Marlo and Sonia, we know, are not coming back. What's your read on what's going on down in Atlanta, and what do you kind of hope or think we're going to see in terms of this next season?
So I don't know for sure, but I believe the person who told me this. But it's not like an official source or like official reporting. But I believe Kenya and Drew will be coming back.
Okay.
Which makes sense. Kenya's such a force on that show. And I think last season, she operated in a way of, like, I'm not going to give you the full Kenya experience, because these people you've surrounded me with are not worthwhile of me giving it my all. Which I think is a tricky place to be on those shows, is sometimes the casts, the people who have been on it long enough, know the game and know what they bring to the table. If everyone else isn't providing the same, they're going to sit back. It's what Candace did this season on Potomac. Like, she decided not to engage in stuff And we see where we landed with that. And Drew, I mean, we wouldn't have had the last season of Atlanta if not for Drew.
Yeah.
And she is friendly with Portia. She's cool with Kenya. She's a bridge between those two. Kenya and Portia, from my understanding, are in a good spot now. I think it also brings us back to like when they came on the show the first time as a duo. And they were the conflict duo, but they infused so much new life and energy into that show, where it moved from being about almost like suburban moms in Atlanta to being about these like boss lady hustler.
Mm-hmm. It girls. Yeah.
It girls in Atlanta. So I'm interested to see how they kind of fill out around them. I would imagine that trio is like the only blasts from the past, like the only people we've seen before who we'll see again.
And I'm fully new.
To raise a question mark to me, I think they keep bringing her back as this solve on Atlanta, and it has never worked.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fun to watch, but she is so aloof. And like, she doesn't really give her personal life. I think I don't know this to be true, but it seems like she almost invents a story for herself every year, or like has a little thing going on that she's like, oh, I could turn this into something. Like the prison bay who never filmed.
Right.
Or the Martell relationship that the longer it existed, it was like, this doesn't seem real. And so I could see her maybe sticking around in a friend role, because I do. She's fun Bravo talent. She brings the legacy factor. It's nice to have an OG in the mix. But I just don't know if she vibes. If it is like Kenya, Portia, Drew, and like, say, they finally give Shamia a peach and like this kind of that group of people, I don't know that Sheree necessarily makes sense in that mix.
Right. And it's almost like Sheree has always needed Nene or Cam or both to really play off of. And otherwise, it just feels slightly off or slightly incomplete.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's, and like her on the Traitors was, to me, it's like, this is who she is on Housewives. Like, she doesn't know what's happening, but she's going to tell you she knows exactly what's up.
Which I agree, maybe a friend of role. We mentioned earlier the rumors about Miami. It's no secret that like that show has had kind of like a perfect 3-season run with the exact same cast. It's been, that was brought back after 10 years. It's been this really incredible 3 years for that show. So I think the announcement that there was going to be maybe a pause in the cast reshuffle was taken as a big surprise from a lot of people. What do you read into that? And what do you think the reason it might be for that?
I think there's an overall trend of the network wanting to film these shows at different times of year.
Got it.
Like, I think that's a big, like, unspoken thing, because it seems like,
so that we're not seeing the same birthday parties every time.
Exactly.
Like that.
Just by shaking up what 3 months we're watching changes the dynamics.
You're right.
So I think that's a big thing that's happening between like when OC is filming right now, they usually film at a different, like in the fall, and we see like Halloween, but this year we're seeing spring, and Atlanta is going to come back. And I presumably film in the summer, New York film in the summer. The last couple seasons of those shows we watched were like fall, winter season.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami has always been, I think, a spring, summer filming. And if we're going to watch them in the fall, great. Also, it'll be less hot and humid for the crew and their makeup and all. We'll have like less frizzy hair moment. I'm interested to see if like a cast shakeup means, are we just reshuffling the deck and people are like, different people will be holding mojitos, but we'll see all these same people? Because I don't think I think we should continue to have all these women.
I agree.
On that show. But I also understand moving someone to a friend role, or moving someone like, we're going to see you in a guest capacity. Like, we want to check in on you, but we want to see some other people here. I would be interested to see Anna come back in a role of some sort, because she seems to have a lot to say and like did not get her chance to say it.
She didn't take the opportunity. Nope.
Yeah. And so, but I would be like, if you go back and watch season 2 of Miami, is like a perfect season of a Housewives show.
Agree.
And she was pretty good on that season. It's like very interesting to me that they've all turned on her, or at least,
but that's the perfect, like, she's part of their world naturally, but she's this lightning rod.
Yes.
And that's the perfect addition to make. That really is.
I keep people saying like, Leah Black needs to come back. Leah Black lives in Los Angeles. She does not live. So to be fair, Larsa Pippen also lives in Los Angeles.
That's true. She is a part-time Miami resident. Yeah, I think when I initially saw that announcement, my first inclination to try to understand it was like, maybe they're also trying to shift it away from some of the OGs because they are reliant on like this group of women that we've known for so long. But it's not like it's not working. So that's why it's a surprise to me. But it's sort of like, do they slowly shift it to be sort of more about like Dr. Nicole's world or something like that?
That's what I'm excited about in the thought of this is that to me means they have found women they think will be great TV.
For sure.
Why would they, you know, don't
fix mess with this formula
broken sort of thing? Like, why would they do this unless they have some ace in their back pocket that's going to blow us all away? So I'm interested to see where that all lands. I do think there are some people that it's like, it would be interesting to like, give them a season off. Like we're kind of starting to
like Marisol or somebody like that.
Yeah. Like Marisol where it's, and it did kind of feel, if you go back and watch the finale, it's like, and they showed her ninth non-legal wedding, whatever it was.
Right.
That felt kind of like almost a send off.
And she wasn't even there for the finale in person.
Wasn't there for the party. And so it would be interesting. And it's like,
and also what does Alexia do without Marisol as sort of like a crutch?
I think that's also something that they may be either consciously or subconsciously testing out is like, we have these dynamic duos that maybe paint themselves into a corner on these shows, Giselle and Robin, Alexia and Marisol. What does...
Took the words out of my mouth. Yep.
What do like the stronger half...
The alpha.
Cares? What does the alpha do when they don't have their wing woman?
It's an interesting test because especially... In those three cases, or in those cases, that alpha, like Alexia, Giselle, like they're so good at their jobs, but it's almost like, oh, it's almost like they sort of fell asleep at the wheel for a second. And it's like, oh, whoa, like all of a sudden I'm just completely reliant on this person. But like they can handle it on their own, but I think they need to sort of be thrown into the deep end again. You know what I mean? Because they've shown they know how to swim. They've shown they know how to figure it out. So I'm very curious about this Miami situation. Finishing up on Potomac. We know Candace is not coming back. It's purported that Robin is not coming back. That is not confirmed. What overhaul do you see? Because there were just so many blockages in this cast for Potomac. So how do you see them, quote unquote, fixing Potomac?
Yeah, I mean, if those are the only two exits, I'm still confused about how this group works. Because like, where does Wendy fit into? Where does NECA fit into it? Where does Ashley fit into it? Like, this almost feels... similar to me of New York, four into five, like when they
do
the cast shakeup, because I think you have Karen firing on all cylinders.
You have Karen giving it her all.
You have Giselle, who's just like, I think Bravo loves Giselle. She's very good at being a housewife. Like she's as much hate as she gets and as much criticism as
she's good at her job.
She's good at her job. So I think like you have those two. And then you have Mia, who was so... like criticized in her first two seasons and then becomes the MVP of her third.
Absolutely.
That I think they rebuild around those three and see who fits into it. Ashley posted like a cryptic thing after the reunion tape where she was like, this journey's been incredible.
She did. Yes.
Like if this, I don't know what's next, but I'm so thankful to have been on it. I would like to see if NECA can fit into the group a second season from her just to like, give her that whole setup of you learn the game, now play it. And if you can play it, then
get out.
Game suit revoked. The lifespan of life story that we can share is like 8 to 10 years at best. And so we've reached 8 years with a lot of these women where it's like, we've explored so much of what your personal story. There's only so much life anyone lives.
Yeah.
Like the Kardashian problem now, where it's like Keeping Up used to be so fun to watch. There was so much you like looked. It was like appointment television where it's just, the Hulu show is just like, okay, so now I'm just watching a professionally filmed version of the news that broke 4 months ago.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. And like, and I think that, you know, we had the four OGs of Potomac and then that was sort of something that I was like, so I celebrated that so much. That's such an incredible feat.
I thought they were untouchable.
And totally. But then, and I'm curious what you think about the fact that, you know, a similar thing is sort of in the process on Salt Lake, where we have the core four, basically, of these four OGs that I feel like are showing no signs of slowing down. But at season 7 or 8, do you run into the same problem there where it's like, we've kind of exhausted this, we've seen every sort of possible alliance within the four people. And I don't know. It's just something that I'm thinking sort of ahead on. We're obviously only at season five, but like, it's just an interesting, it's a similar pattern that's happening over there.
You can only watch the same arguments and issues.
Yeah.
And only hear the same personal life story so many times before it's like, okay, we've been this, we need new territory. So I love having an OG or at least like a long-term cast member, like an anointed OG.
Yes.
Official, like a Tamara Judge, a Candy Burris on Atlanta. So it's like, so having somebody in the mix who's like, I've been here since the beginning. I set the tone. I stand in the center of the opening titles is great. But as long as we're getting interesting people who are willing to work together and engage
with
each other and not have like, when you sign up to share your life on TV, you cannot then invent rules of how that works. Like you agreed your life goes on camera. And that's where like the Jenna component is going to be interesting to watch of it sets up a slippery slope of like the Cameron Eubanks problem on Southern Charm, where it's like,
yes,
he almost had to leave the show because she wasn't sharing. And the show evolved to a place where it was so much more about their romances and personal lives that it's like, this, I don't make sense on here anymore. And
totally.
Housewives is so much about, okay, what happens at home as well as when you're with the group.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of, I mean, I thought when Jenna did that interview and said, you know, I'm not going to show my relationship and, you know, the production and execs are all kind of okay with that. I saw somebody tweet that was just sort of like, well, if the other women know what's good for them, they're going to make this the storyline. They're going to make this part of the show. And you kind of want to pull yourself out of that before it becomes the issue.
Right. Like you're setting up these boundaries to protect yourself. But what's going to happen is you're going to get attacked for it and probably run off the show. So being on the show is important for you. Lean in all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least give us something. You know,
yep.
It's like, thank you, Ariana, for screaming at Tom Sandoval in James Kennedy's kitchen. We got the shot of you interacting and saw where you were 3 months after the news broke. Thank you for doing your job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it can be hard, but it pays off. So, Bryce, to end it, I feel like, you know, I feel like you and I are similar in that we are hopeful about these shows. There's always going to be, they're going to figure it out. They know what they're doing, like you said earlier. So what's something that you're really especially hopeful about in Housewives world? What's something that gets you excited about the rest of 2024?
I'm excited to see like what Jersey looks like with
Me too.
Understanding of Teresa and Melissa don't talk, are not going to talk, are not going to be friends, but we can still film a show. So I'm excited to watch what that looks like. I do think from talking to Andy back at BravoCon, what they did this year probably is not sustainable for the future of that show.
So got it.
Probably will be.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's like, here's the bridge to get us to where we need to go. So it'll be interesting to see where that lands after that. I'm excited that the OC cast is back intact, plus I believe one new woman that's filming with them. OC is like, it was the gateway drug for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still like to watch the Alexis Bellino, Shannon Bedore, John Jansen, whatever it's going to be.
Sign me up.
I would like a live feed right now. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited for the Roni ladies to get a second season. I'm interested in what they're going to do with the legacy Roni ladies. Like how do they, I think they want to keep them in the mix. I want to see Dorinda play traitors. These shows are meant to be entertainment at the end of the day. Like, do not take it too seriously. Have fun with it. And just like, I don't know, turn your brain off for 42 minutes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not that serious. Sometimes.
It's almost never that serious.
And on that note, Bryce, thank you for doing this. Everyone can follow you at Bryce Sander. Is there a place they can go to just get your interviews or is that just your social media pages?
Yeah, just go to my Instagram and there's a link in bio that you can find every single interview.
And Bryce, you get the answers that we all want to hear. So thank you for your service.
Well, I'll keep doing it.
All right, Bryce, thanks for the time and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. is produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.